and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Who is the truth and the life. If you want to know the truth about anything, talk with Jesus. You see, a lot of times we don't think of things as we ought. Many times we don't know the truth of a thing as we ought. And sometimes we take the lie of Satan and we make decisions about our lives. Now, we don't know that it's the lie of Satan because he's a deceiver. You see, sometimes you'll think that you're leaning just to your own understanding, but many times we forget who may be orchestrating some of these things that's going on in our mind. You see, we've seen that with Eve and Adam, how he got behind them and he began to share with them some things about God that were not true, but he made it seem like it was true. So when you take the things like that and you begin to ponder them over in your mind and Satan is boosting you up to believe his lie, you better watch out because you may be heading for a downfall. So when Jesus Christ tells us that he is the truth, that means I can believe him. I can trust him. I can rely on him. Even when I can't rely on myself. Don't you know that sometimes I can't even rely on myself? Because I don't think the same way every day. No. Some days you may have a bad day. Some days you may have a good day. Some days somebody may push that wrong button. Some days you may get a button pushed you didn't know you had. Or sometimes you say, well, I knew I had that button, but you know what? I done got so spiritual, I done put that button on lockdown. I mean, yeah, because you go back a ways, everybody know I had it. But you know, since I've been saved, I've locked it away. I've hid it. And that rascal found that button and resurrected it and had me acting ugly. But I tell you, but if you rely on Jesus, he's the truth. See, not that he just tells the truth. He can't help himself. Y'all walk with me a little bit. You know, this is part of my message, but I just, he is the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's deeper than him telling the truth. See, sometimes we think about, thank y'all. You have not because you ask not. You put the word out. Sometimes you put the word out, people don't move. They still, I don't care what you say, Pastor, drown up there. But some people say, no, I ain't going to do that. But anyway, look at this now. He says that I am the truth. He can't help but tell the truth. So that means I can believe everything Jesus said. No matter what my understanding tell me or how I think or what my condition of life or my status of life or what I'm going through at that time. A lot of times, see, what we need when we are going through some things, got some difficult decisions to make, we definitely need to have some truth coming our way. Because we're about to make a great decision in our lives. And you don't want to make that decision based on lies. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You and I are capable of lying. Yes. Am I right? And we done told some lies since we've been saved. Now, let's not lie in the house of God. But it's all right. But I'm just trying to show you the difference in us in God. But not only is he the truth, he said that he is life. Man, when you got Jesus, you got truth, Sheila, and you got life. You see, Ephesians says that we were dead in trespasses and sin. There's a lot of people walking all around us in this world. From God's standards, they are zombies. They are the walking dead, according to Ephesians. Am I right about it, saints? Am I right about it? See, they're walking, they're breathing, but he says they're spiritually dead. And Jesus took the dead and made them alive. He said the Holy Spirit quickened. That quickening means made alive. So he's the truth and he's my life. You see, it behooves me to trust him because who he is. See, a lot of times we don't want to trust God because he won't do what we want him to do. Or he ain't always who we think he should be. But I'm telling you, you need to trust him and love him just because of who he is. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, trust him just because who he is. Not for who you want him to be, but for who he is. My message today is take a good look at God and keep your eyes on God. And I'm coming from Psalms 121, 1 through 8. I won't be with you long. The psalmist had discovered that only the Lord could provide the help, the happiness, the health, and the hope for which the heart hungers. From the desolate plains of the land of exile, the psalmist declared that he will look to God for help. He speaks of God as his helper, his keeper, and his preserver. You know, I spoke about that about Jesus, who he is, and what he said about it himself in John, Gospel. Because sometimes we don't trust God in our decisions, in our living. Sometimes we think we know better than God. And sometimes we do this. We'll say, now I know I don't know better than God, but I just want to do this. I know it's against God, but I want to do it. You see, the I is the middle letter in sin. And many times, see, the S is Savior. The I is sin. In the end should be never. Never let sin override the will of God in your life. But we do it, don't we? Because our flesh, the nature, is not eradicated. Even when we would do good, evil is present. But those who know the Lord as their Savior, not that we live perfect lives, but I'm telling you something. Before we go away from here, it should be getting better. That's all I'm saying. It should be getting better. But you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes, to do it God's way, it seemed like it's hard. Let's be honest with it. Let's be honest. See, because the people tell you, oh, it's easy. No, it's not easy. Now, it may be easier for you after you've been through some trials and tribulations and you came back to God and found out it's better to do it God's way and I won't go through all the hurt. And sometimes we go through the hurt and go through it again because of that. But I like this because we have help. The psalmist says right here, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, many times these guys are in the pilgrimage, they're going through dangerous places and they're robbers and different things through the hills and all of that, but they can look to Jerusalem, they can look to the hills, they can look up, but they're looking up to God. Now, there is some understanding that the psalmist brings out here. See, he says, I'm looking to God for my help. And the one that I'm looking to is almighty. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's the creator. See, don't overlook that last part into who made heaven and earth. See, whenever God want to tell you who he is, you better listen. See, sometimes the credibility of some people you can't trust. And sometimes they are so shaky, and other people know they're shaky, and they're seeing you giving them money, loaning them money, or investing with some project with them. And they say, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Because they have a reputation of not being faithful, not being truthful. But the psalmist says, I'm looking to the hills. I'm looking upward for my help, because the one I'm looking to created this earth, which I'm living on, which I'm existing on. You see, he's not saying, I'm just trusting God who's nobody. He said, I'm going to tell you I'm trusting him, Alvin, because he created the earth. He created the hills. He created the cattle, the creeping things, the things of the sea. Now, he gave us dominion, but man didn't create nothing. God created all things. And so he says, now I'm trusting him. And by the way, the one that's trusting God, he created you. Now look at you and me who are born again. Not only did he create us once, he created us twice, because we've been born again. We've been made a new creation. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've been created twice. But look back at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, not only have I been created twice, but I've been created twice by the same God. Isn't that right? He said he made heaven and earth. You see, sometimes we act and control our own lives, which our lives are not our own anymore, because we've been bought with a price. And see, we're headed for danger, y'all. Nobody trying to cramp your style or make you feel you can't do nothing. No, they ain't about that no more. It's about you receiving the blessings that are already yours, because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. That's the hope of glory. You see, God wants us to live the abundant life. God is not thrilled with those who have been born twice living the shabby life. Some of our lives are more shabby than unsaved people. And I'm not just talking about us in here. I'm just talking about Christians in general. Okay, I'm just talking about in general, not particularly New Berean. Okay, so I'm just saying in general. Because you know what? We lean to our own understanding, and a lot of our understanding is tainted. As I was sharing with my son in the office, a lot of our understanding is tainted by the devil. You think he is concerned about how we think. You see, when Satan went after Job, he was concerned how he thought about God. Am I right about it? He said, but I got to change the way he think about God, then he'll curse God. I can't get him to curse God until I change the way he think about God. Y'all missing any true Hebrew. I got one I preach to you. Let me tell you something. That's why he said, let me touch him. See, the touching was not so much about destroying him physically. There was a task that Satan had for him. He just wanted to agitate him to the point he'll turn his back on God. He'll curse God to his face. But in order to do that, when a man, watch this. When a man got a mindset on serving Jesus, got a steadfast mind, I love the Lord, for the Lord I live, for the Lord I'll die. When he got a mind, Satan put a target on his back. And what I got to do, I got to regulate that mind. I got to adjust that mind to not think about standing flat-footed on the promises of God. But I need to move him. I need to make him think you can get a little something there better. See, a lot of things that happen to us, he make us think there's something better than God. See, but when you say, look, Dane, you can't offer me nothing. You see, that's why them boys can't knock at my door offering me paradise or nothing. You can't offer me nothing. How can you offer me anything spiritually when I got Jesus? It don't get any better than Jesus Christ. There is no greater love than Jesus Christ. There's no greater friend than Jesus Christ. But if he can get you to change your mind, see, he want to change Joe's mind. See, when he changes his mind, if he could change his mind, he could get him not to worship God, sing praises to God, say the hallelujahs to God, but to curse God. And some of us, the enemy is doing little things to change our mind. Is it worth that church thing? Is it worth that God thing? I'm going through hell. I'm going through ups, downs, and all arounds. I don't know whether I want to land. I don't know whether I'm going to blow away. I don't know whether I'm going to lose my mind. Wait. You telling me what you don't know about? It ain't about what you don't know about, Saint. It should be about what you know. I know the Lord loved me. He proved it to me. He took the wrath of God off of me and placed it on himself. He was beaten for me. He bled for me. He's praying for me. He's coming back for me. He loved me. He loved me more than his own life. It pleased him to go all the way to Calvary where the nails, they wouldn't have helped him. The spikes wouldn't have helped him unless he told the spikes, pin my feet, pin my hand. The wood tree that he made, that they made the cross, the rugged cross out of, the tree. Curses the man that hang down. But the tree wouldn't have held them unless that tree hold me. The ground, the hole, that when they lift up the cross and they dropped it down with that thumb, the ground would have closed up. Nature obeys God. Except God say, hold, stay a hole. Don't want you to be silent. Let him lift me up. For if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. You see, because we hurt, we turn our backs on God. God say, this earth, this, you on the clock of life. God said, I gave you life. I give you longevity. Ask Hezekiah. I say, Hezekiah, Isaiah, tell him he gonna die. Tell him put his house in order. But he went aside. Let me tell you something. Somebody can bring you some news. And not saying it ain't right. Not even saying it ain't from God. But you got the right when you know him. When you're living a righteous life, you got the right to pray. You got a right to come. I'm going to come aside. I'm going to come aside. I'm going to talk to him on my behalf. It's all right, mama prayed for you. Grandmama prayed for you. But all of that is to get you one day to pray for yourself. One day mama going to be gone. Grandmama going to be gone. But God bless the child who got Jesus for himself. Hezekiah, get the house in order, you're going to die. Hold up, Isaiah. I got to go talk to God for myself. Huh? Hey, you know, your son can say some things. Your wife can say some things. And they say it because they love you, Brother Parker. But Brother Parker, go in your closet. Go get on your knees. Especially when it's concerning you and your family. And you talk to God. And God gave him 15 more years, didn't he? Huh? God said, I'm going to extend it. Look at here. The God that we look up for our help, he's not only the giver of life, but then he can extend it. That's Bible. So when the man said, I look to him, he created everything. Jesus said, I am the life, isn't it? He gave me my life. He created me over again. And you know the second me should be better than the first me. You see, the first me need a redo, a recreation. But the second me don't need to be created again. Now all I'm going to get is a new body to go with the new me. But that's waiting on me. See, what I'm trying to point on, not just that you look to God, I'm trying to tell you who you're looking to. I'm trying to show you the incentives for looking and calling and praying. He give life and he can extend life. That was a godly king of Judah. A whole lot of wicked ones. Jeremiah can tell you about the wicked ones and how he prayed and how they all turned against him and how they went into Babylonian captivity and all of that stuff that was going on and how they treated him. And that boy was so broken, he even said that he believed God lied to him. And the Lord God's like a spring of water, crooked and all that kind of stuff. You read it and get an interpretation of what's going on there. And God told him, he said, let me tell you something. When you repent, Jeremiah, when you repent, I'll restore you and you can be my mouth again. Some of us need to repent and let God use our vocal cords again. Let God use us to his glory. Because see, your days are numbered. My days are numbered. And when you don't live godly, you may not get no extension. You gonna live like you wanna live. And I don't care who know it. You know, as a pastor, you have to adjust yourself a whole lot of time. You gotta realize you ain't nobody's God. You ain't nobody's Jesus. And you can't get out of being who you are neither. What I mean, you can't run away because you say, God, I can't handle this. It's funny. Now, y'all may not understand this, and I understand because you ain't a pastor. You love what you do, and you begin to take some of the stuff the saints do personal because you love them. And you're a part of them. And also you feel that not only you take it personal, you feel as though maybe I'm at fault. Maybe I'm not preaching the word of God in power. Maybe there's some truths I'm not letting them know. So they're not growing because I'm not feeding them. When that's my commission to feed the flock of God. So you do take it. You say, well, God, maybe if I was feeding them, Maybe if I had some more spiritual food and I was delivering it and articulating it in such a way, it would build them up in their faith, God. Maybe it's me and not them. Maybe it's my fault they want to live any kind of way. Maybe I'm not living a holy life. Maybe I'm not an example before them. Maybe it's something wrong with me, God. Well, God, if it means, God, that they would be stronger, more powerful, more godly, well, God, let somebody else do it. And God says, shut up. You remember Adrian Rogers said before he died years ago, you were in South Carolina on vacation, listening to the Christian radio, and way back then he said, 85% of my big congregation is Connor. Wow. I said, I got to hear this again. And I had to ask him, I said, not Adrian Rogers, one of the greatest Bible teachers. He said, 85%. I said, what are you talking about? I know what he's talking about. Christendom is saying, I want to escape when death comes to go with glory. But until then, I want to live like I want to live. And it ain't nobody business. They can kiss my foot. I said foot. I'm not like y'all. See, you don't have to feel this way because you ain't in charge of no souls. But can I share? I'm no Superman. I got my own problem. But you know what? Older you get, God makes some things clear. I go back now to some of my great spiritual friends. And I used to always wonder, I mean, they shop in the word, but they ain't never want to be a pastor. No, I'm serious. And I didn't understand. I mean, they would go to Bible college. I mean, they were shot with that. And I look at them, I say, y'all, and they're godly. And I, hey, man. No. Mm-mm. I'm a Bible teacher. Wait a minute. What y'all know I don't know? What y'all not telling me? And then my best friend, when I got my call to start New Berean, in his living room, I never forget it, he started crying for me. Pouring out crying. I said, wait a minute, I'm asking you questions about what you think, and I want you, if you're going to hurt me, tell me. I'm not, you know, I don't think you qualified for this. I don't think, none of that. Oh, yeah, you qualified. He started boo-hooing. Well, what you crying for? I'm asking you if I won't go if I'm not fit for the ministry, for pastoring. He said, no, it's just what you're going to go through. Oh, yeah, Rick, you already doing it because you're dealing with people now. You're ministering to people now. You got the Rebuilders group. You are there. He said, but, and let me tell you something. It's, you got to love people to feel this way. You don't want to do this and not care about people. So, but I'm just sharing a little, giving you a little insight. Okay, let's go. I haven't lost nobody, have I? So we see the first thing, God is our helper. We are looking to God now. And the next thing, verse 3, it says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But God, you see, sometimes, even when you're wrestling with situations, even sometimes you gotta cry. Even sometimes when you want to walk straight, you slip. But because he's not sleeping on you, he'll help you get back up. Because he's not lazy, he'll help you. You see, I'm looking to God for my help. See, some of us look to people for our help, and we look past God. But I'm going to tell you something. When people give up on you, or even when people want to help you, would love to help you, but not able to help you. God is able and ready, and he won't go to sleep on you. See, what's happening, sometimes we think God is asleep, but God is wide awake. But we have gone to sleep on his power. See, that psalm that says, I'm calling on the one who created heaven and earth. Let me give you the credentials of the one I'm calling on. And I'm going to tell you something else too. I believe God like it when you pray. Say, God, I'm praying to you. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm saying, hallowed be thy name. You have such a holy name. Your name is separated from every name. Your name is higher than every name. And your majesty, there's none like it. You are King of kings, Lord of lords. You all of that and much more. My word, earthly words cannot even describe who you are, but I do the best that I can. Heard something too. We got this thing. Only trust God in the good times of your life. No, that's a fair weather God. You and I don't have no fair weather God. We got a God that'll be in the storms. God that will be in the tsunamis. God will be in the hurricanes of your life. God will be in the frustrations of your life. Those times when you are mentally disturbed, God will be there. See, God will give you clarity when you think right about God. That's why Satan always wants you to think wrong about God. God trying to hold something back from you, Eve. God know that you be like him, and he don't want you to be like him with that knowledge. And some of us bite the lie, swallow the lie, and act on the lie, and we mess our lives up. And I tell you, part of that is that we won't all of what we want here and now. See, some of us can't wait on our blessings. See, Abraham had to wait. He had to trust God and wait. Some of us, see, it don't end here for us. We got eternal life. See, this world gonna be destroyed. Hold on. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, hold on to Jesus' unchanging hand. You know what? If the enemy say, you know what? Boom, they're saved, so I can't get their souls. Can't get their souls because they're truly saved. Believe it or not, they're saved. I just take their testimony so they won't be a light to nobody else. I try to keep them from getting some other folks saved. We are going to either believe God or not believe God. We're going to have to trust God even when he say hard things to us. Because remember, he can extend life. He gives life. You can talk to him. You can talk to him. Keep loving God. He'll keep you. Some of us know that we done been through some mess in life. And you ain't got to tell people everything. We done been through some mess if we go back over our lives since we've been born. Saved and unsaved. And you are still here. You are still here. When some of your cohorts are dead in their grave, some of them locked away for life in jail, some of them so messed up in life, is like they seem to be better off dead because they're so messed up. And it could have been you. It should have been you. It would have been you. But God. So I look to the hills, Mike, coming through the storm, right in the middle of it like everybody else. But God, God kept me. God preserved me for such a time as this. You don't know what God gonna do with your children. Just show them Jesus as best as you can. Not just in word. Not just in bringing them to church, but in your lifestyle before them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some of your children may seem to be hard-headed, not hearing the God you were praying for them, you were telling them, and sometimes they get frustrated. Sometimes they may even argue with you about it. But let me tell you something. You get sick. Terminal ill. And they're around your bed. And they're broken. Because they don't know if they're going to lose mom or dad. They don't know how many moments they got left. Now, I'm going to tell you what you planted in them children. Oh, it's going to come. They're going to even start praying. And watch this, because I have listened. They'll even be saying, my mama and daddy love the Lord. I may not be, but I know they love the Lord. They were constant in the word and talking about the word and loving the Lord. They weren't perfect, God, but Lord, give me my mama. Extend this thing. Give me my daddy. You know what, God? I don't even mind them irritating me with Jesus. Let them get out of that bed of affliction. They can irritate me. Let me move on. The psalmist says that he don't sleep or slumber. And 5 says, the Lord is your keeper. My Lord. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shield at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by night, nor the moon by night. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, a lot of times our nights of misery and frustration and problems that we go through, sometimes we think the night gonna take us out. And I don't know what it is about night, but it seems like when you're going through something, it's worse at night. Anybody have felt that? I know I have. And I can't wait till the daylight come. And I can't wait till the daylight. It's like it just get worse at night, a cold or anything. And then you go, and I tell you something else too. I've gotten more calls of people of death at night. That phone ring at night. I remember a good friend of mine, when he was killed, his wife rung my phone late at night, ring. And then I picked the phone up. He's dead, and he was shot. He was killed. And I've had many more like that. You know, and a part of you want to say, and you do what you got to do, but a part of you want to say, can you wait till the morning? But those people are hurting during that time, so they're not waiting in the morning, because it's just something about the night. But realize that the Lord is your keeper. He is your protector. Now, God will protect you. And sometimes we need protecting. And let me tell you something, too. You and I can't call shots on people's lives. Sometimes we call shots. No, you can't call no shots. God called those shots. Because you don't know how many opportunities God going to give people. Now, you and I want as many as we can get. Am I right about it? I do. Well, Lord, they don't want none. I do. Because you got to give me some. I need some. Anybody need more opportunities for the Lord to bless you? Amen. Amen. I got you. I know you're dignifying your mind somewhere else right now. You think that's more important than listen to the man of God. You just take your mind, do what you want to do with it. Go ahead. Go ahead on. Go right on, do your thing. That's why, man, I tell you. Do you realize sometimes that the pastor need help to even preach? I'm no different from you guys. I'm a man of like passion. Matter of fact, some of y'all may be more perfect than I am out there. So I don't carry that in the pulpit. I carry weakness in the pulpit. Strength is only what God allowed me to have while I'm standing here. My strength is what the Holy Spirit speaks to me and through me while I'm here. If he decides not to, it's only a shell, and I won't do anybody any good. Okay, so pray for me. Even Paul said, pray for me. You would think, Paul, you the man. You the man. You sold out for God. You don't need nobody to pray for you. You need to pray for other people. But Paul wasn't that stupid like some people can be. He realized that it's something powerful about intercessory prayer. It's something, there's some doors that will open with your intercessory prayer that may not open for Paul's prayer alone. You know, the story is told about a lot of the great evangelists and the great preachers of old. And then you get the backdrop of how many saints, old saints, prayed in the basement while the preacher was preaching. How many godly women were on their knees going before the Lord every time that man would preach. And God was answering their prayer. Like Hezekiah, he said, I'm going to pray for myself. They prayed fervently. And then when all that was noted, that the power came from the basement, from the prayer, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. But it amazed me how many righteous won't pray during the time of preaching when God say, your prayer availeth much. Prayer is needed, y'all. Okay, let me finish and get on out your way. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Wow. Preserve me from all evil. Now that's if I want to play with that a little bit or work with it a little bit. Some of us feel that we are being attacked by evil. And we got things that we hold to ourselves. You got certain people you share with or you don't share with. And you call it evil. You don't nickname it. Or if you don't call it straight up evil, you put it in the category of evil. Or being put on you by the evil one. And yet, God said, I'll protect you. Now, you know what we got to get an understanding of before we can receive this protection? A lot of times, we don't think we're receiving the protection because we don't understand what the protection is. See, we got our mind set on what I'm looking for protection. Protection means don't let it happen. Don't let it come in my house. That's the protection. Now, it's in my house. It's bothering me, bothering my children, bothering my wife, bothering the dog, the cat, whoever. How is he protecting me? He's protecting you because what he's saying, you're going to get through it. See, the evil want to destroy you. The evil want to drown you in itself. The evil want to turn your course around. See, the evil, when you're walking with God, evil want to turn you around this way and walk away from God. So evil having done is you protect it when you say, yes, I feel a little tired. I feel a little worn, but I still love the Lord. But I'm still going on anyhow. So evil's not doing all they want to do because God have put limits on how much evil can do to you. You see, God is saying, Satan, take your best shot. Sometimes he'll let him take his best shot. We know Job's story. I can use it for so many references. And God said, go at him. You see, what God is saying to us, none of you have seen me, but trust me. None of you have touched my hands, but believe that I am. Believe that I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. So evil can't do nothing with you that though I'm tired, though I'm broken, I'm still going to the house of God. Though I don't feel like it, but I know I ought to do it. You see, did God feel like dying for me? He died for me. Did God feel like his humanity spitting in his face for me? But he did it. Did God feel like them scandalizing his name? But he did it. Stripping him naked, but he did it. Taking the cat of nine tails and hitting him and pulling back blood meat, but he did it. See, we owe God everything. It get better for us. Don't put all your eggs of life in this basket here on earth. We are spiritual beings. We got to give some time to the spiritual side of us. And not just the carnal, the fleshly side of us. That word of God is powerful, sharp. It cuts to the marrow of the bone, moves through the veneer, right to the bone and inside of the bone. Know the intents and the thoughts. God is speaking. God is with us. You know, I'm not telling you stuff I'm not going through. I share with my son today, and I'm sitting there encouraging him. And he said, you know what, Daddy? I know what you're going through. And I said, you know what, son? But I got to put that aside because that's a test for me. It's a test for me when you keep preaching, when you keep trying to encourage somebody else when you need encouragement yourself. When you say how good God is and how he'll protect you, how he keep you. Is he keeping you? Yes, he's keeping you. I haven't lost my mind. I haven't lost my place. I'm still in the house of God. I'm still standing. And my wife loved church. Every day we go into church. Is today Sunday? Is today Sunday? I'm saying, my God. Oh, she wanted to be, but not if we don't go every day. Are you preaching? Are you preaching? Wow. Wow, Lord. Wow. I gotta go. I gotta go. My God. She loved the Lord. Not only that, she loved God's people. And she loved the house of the Lord. She wanna go. Go to church as long as you can, brothers and sisters. I know we have come. I know you do all that. But I'm telling you something. It may come a point when you want to go and you can't get here. Go while you can go. Go while you can go. You think you're going to get by without anything? No. It's just a matter of time. Who's next? This thing is real to me. No, I'm not up here sugarcoating nothing. I love you guys too much. You do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. But when I stand before God, he said, I was right in that place, Rick, because y'all not present. I stood right there and looked at all my children. I looked how they was attentive, they didn't care, how they would say, you know what, this is a preaching thing. And I saw others who were soaking in my word. Now let's move on. Man, sometimes you wonder, have God, was Job the only name, the only servant? Say, what about my servant Job? See, sometimes our names, what about Rick's? What about Rick's down there? See, Satan is still active because he know he got a short time. What about that old Rick's down there? A lot of the saints up there in heaven talking about him, praying for him if they can, whatever going on. That's with my peewee mind. I'm believing they're praying for me. Okay. Don't touch him. Couldn't make Job curse him, but I make Rick's curse you. I make Rick's walk away. I make Rick's hurt a whole lot of folk. But there's some folk. And I tell you, the screams when the enemy touch you, or God permits some things, when you have no understanding and the cries from your family and not knowing, and you have to be the strong man and you have to keep ministering to other people. Then the biblical writings become very pertinent at that point. Do you really believe? Well, it's one thing to believe when I'm blessing you, blessing you, blessing you, blessing you, blessing you. And you got some blessing you ain't even asked for. God just bless you. You know, I thank God for my boys, my family. God did it. I didn't do it. God did it. I thank God for them, my grandchildren and my daughters, daughter-in-laws. I thank God for them, but God did it. But you know what I want to do? I want to say, God, when I feel lonely, pick me up. When I feel tired, and I have no reason to be tired, I'm just letting frustration build up. And I'm not relieving myself in the word, or I'm not getting, you know, God, have someone at that time to pray for me. And that I can feel that prayer come through to say, get up, man. Get up, you gotta preach. See, no matter what you go through, Sunday don't stop coming. And I just wish sometimes if somebody said, you know, he ain't lying. I see what he's going through. If that man can be here every Sunday, I ain't going to be coming every 6 months. I ain't going to do that. If he can get up and bring his wife, get her ready, do all that, that man get two people ready. Do the whole nine, and she look good. She looks good. Not just one. And I'm here every Sunday. At least you can come twice a month. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't the only one need help out there. I need help up here. Is it all right if I ask for help? God said, you have not. And then people look crazy when I ask for help. Like, you know, you probably too spiritual for that. Where that crazy mess come from? Hebrew, get ready to preach, son. I know you got it in you. Huh? Okay. God call you? Now let God call you now. Because, you know, don't let Pastor Rich call you. Because he don't call you, son. It ain't all what it cracked up to be. You're going to be in trouble. See, that's one thing I can't get away with. I can't get away with. That'd be the biggest lie if I tell that. Get to a point. No, you know what it is really, man? I'm quitting because God ain't called me. You lying. So I ain't going to do that. God, I'm going to go on. Let me finish because y'all don't want to hear all that. Okay. Now you know how to pray for me, right? Okay. The last one here. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, let the Lord be all that he really is in your life. Understand, no matter what come, God is the greater. No matter what you go through, he's the lover of your soul. And nothing can get through the hedge that God have around you except God permitted. okay? But up your love for the Lord, up your worship of the Lord, up your allegiance for the Lord. We can always up it a little bit. Am I right about it? Let's up it a little bit. Even if you go up one notch, you know, you may say, well, Lord, I really want to go up seven at some time, but right now I'm going to go up one. Praise God, worship God, be all that God would have you to be. And look around you sometime. Because sometimes when you are going through something,